when we vote.
I made it you.
Nope, I said Barbara. You said okay.
What's the date? The 18th?
Today is
17th?
Today's
18th. Today is the 18th.
Welcome to the Monclova Township February 18th special meeting. Trudy and I and Gavin are present. We're going to move right to executive session to discuss contracts and a negotiation. So I make a motion to move to executive session.
Second.
Second by Vickery on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. I need the minutes that say I'm the vice president.
You always help me. You do a good job.
I think you're good.
We are returning from our executive session in this special meeting, and we need to make a motion regarding our Teamsters contract. So,
do you have to make a motion to return to general session?
Do I?
Yeah.
I need to move to return to our special meeting general session.
Second.
Second by Vickery on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. Do you want to make the motion? Yeah.
I make the motion. Move approve the agreement with Teamsters Lovani covering administrative operation employees and road maintenance employees effective January 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2027.
I second.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, I move to adjourn from the special meeting.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. What the plan for today was, like, we have economic development coming to talk to us.
Gotcha.
It'd always be good to, you know, actually know what you're doing instead of...
No, I didn't see anything come other than after I sent you guys the names and I sent you back that other information.
So we are now in our working session on the February 18th meeting. Kershaw's not in attendance, and I have been elected vice president, so we'll be running the meeting today. Though I did argue that at our last meeting, it was documented that I am vice president. It's 4:45 and fire chief is with us. Martini is with us. And our administrator, Gavin and Trudy, are here. On the agenda tonight, we get to take advantage of a SAFER grant, which is a wonderful... Is perk the right word? A wonderful boon? Oh, a definite advantage. 3 years of salary for three firefighters. So you have recommendations for us tonight, correct?
Correct.
Can you tell us the process you went through? Because I know we created a more systematic approach to interviewing. I'd love to hear backstory on that.
We just basically look through the applications that we get, the resumes, cover letters, applications, kind of review and rank them. Schedule them for the interview and then conduct the interview. Same bank of questions given to all with our panel members, and then rank their interview and background performance on that. So just interview gives us an opportunity to learn more and more of them than what's on the pieces of that they submit. So it gives a broader perspective of the candidates or the applicants. And then we kind of through and have a discussion on the panel of how we've looked at them and what we think of the recommendations for going forward.
You had... clear first, second, and third, and then it seemed to me that the numbers dropped off quite a bit. Like,
yeah, we went. I think we went as far as four deep, as far as the positions period, which we have the four opens, the three from the SAFER, and the one remaining 2022. The fourth person though has a few other things to finish up that they hadn't finished up.
That's
as
why
part of our process. So we're they completed most of that, I believe, either this past weekend and or today. I think they were scheduled to finish. So we're going to sit down again with the panel and probably have like a second interview with them now that they're finished with things to go forward from there. And then if we don't find the fourth, we will reopen that that application for that final position. And that's about it, unless there was questions on that process or that.
I asked my question. I have used that process many times in hiring, and I always save it. I attach it to the resume and put it in a file. When you saved paper, you don't save paper anymore. Back in the days when you did.
Yeah, we have most a lot of those things like an administrative document that they're used to buy all the things together, and then that then we don't have them. I mean, if it's part of our records retention, yes, we save it. If it's considered
all right, it's different document. Here. You have to save paper. Yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted to know if any of you knew the candidates prior, and you were clear that you did because some of them worked here.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. The four of the applicants were employees here part time, and none of the other seven, the three remaining of the seven that we interviewed, were known to the township or the department members.
And would I be correct in understanding that most fire departments will look internally for candidates first?
What our posting is listing, it's applied in our union contract with the Firefighters Union. It says that it'll be open to internal and external at the same time. So we don't have a policy that says it only goes internal first.
Okay.
So it does get presented to both, and with the since we've associated with the National Testing Network, all the process of application and stuff goes through them to start with the fire teams test, which is kind of like a general knowledge, reading comprehension, math, mechanical skills testing, similar to what a civil service testing does, even though we're not required to do a civil service testing. It's part of their process. They have some scoring that comes from that, so we get to review part of the review process, and then we switch to only doing the physical agility test, the firefighter mile, through the National Testing Network. So that's the only little bit of a loose thing item to the process, because locally that's only offered at Owens, and they only have pretty much like one or two tests a month currently. There are some other areas within Ohio, down towards Dayton, Columbus area, and that, and some other ones that offer the testing. So if the applicant doesn't get it up here, they can apply and take it in another location. The fire teams test can be done at one of their testing centers or done online at your home through the use of a computer you have with a camera and a room that you can isolate the candidate in for the testing, so they can monitor the progress of the applicant doing the test. So sometimes we have a little bit of a delay of getting that physical agility done so that we can get all the applicants ready for that. That would be one of the contingencies, if anything, if we don't have them done, that one, that we have to have that completed for their hiring.
So I do have a question, because I see on the three that you're, quote, recommending, only one is a crossover paramedic firefighter at this point?
Only one is a firefighter paramedic. The other one is in paramedic school currently. And the third, we talked to him as part of the requirement of this position. We would have an agreement that said within the three-year period, you would complete your paramedic certificate. And he did not have a problem with that. He was
so this, the SAFER grant, obviously these three people are eligible, because I know they're looking into this for the SAFER grant area.
Correct.
So this qualifies them for the SAFER grant area, being, since they're not a paramedic except the one, that it complies with what is required.
Correct. When we submitted application for the SAFER grant, I put forward the wage of the paramedic as the maximum that it would be. So we have a wage scale, and we were given a certain amount of money based on that paramedic wage for years. But obviously, if we don't have people in place, or if we don't have that paramedic in place, we reports that we have to submit as we go through the grant cycle and period. So we would submit the lower wage for the firefighter EMT or the firefighter advanced, however they rank, they are classified. And then if they would complete the paramedic level, then it would encompass their raise to the firefighter paramedic wage. But without them having that, they're still eligible for the position.
Okay, yeah, because I wasn't sure. I didn't know if the grant says you had to be a paramedic and a firefighter when hired, but you're saying
the grant,
that's not the guidelines.
The grant just has to have a trained individual, so they have to have a fire and an EMT certification.
Okay, so but just as long as it doesn't have to be the parent. It could be an EMT, one EMT. Okay,
right.
That makes sense then.
Yeah, our goal, though, is to push them towards that paramedic certification so that we have the additional as we put on the extra person to staff with the engine and or down the road when we get the third medic unit up and running. We'll have three, at least a minimum of three ALS providers on shift so that we have a paramedic for each unit.
And I do see on your third one, he's never worked here?
He has not. He's not worked. No, he works for the 180th, and he's part-time in White House.
So you have to onboard, and are we going to do like the big ceremony again, and the welcome, and the pin, and
the plan is
like the parade for me.
The plan is for all of that, yes, to do. We'll get them started. Based on how your approval goes, the two that are part-time employees will have a little less onboarding, but we'll get them through some of the steps that we do transition somebody from part-time to full-time. But they would have the pinning for the full-time position. And then the other individual from the outside would have a little more involved process. He would need to go through our full orientation where we start with our paperwork day, our mini academy day, and our orientation on shifts. But that's a matter of like 5 days that we schedule them for. And they would complete that process. And then we would do, as part of the onboarding, we started a field training rope where they ride with a provider of equal or higher level. And they kind of get accustomed to the system. Being that from the 180th and from White House, he's familiar with the Lucas County system a little bit, so it'll be a quick process for him. But they hone their skills a little bit on becoming, whatever it is. It's the same process we're using when we transition somebody from like an EMT to a paramedic or an EMT to an advanced. They ride with a provider at that level, and they kind of, they get to do lead assessment, and then they have the mentor of the equal certificate there to help give them pointers as they go through the system and get comfortable with it.
I thought at the pinning ceremony, we should make sure Marcy Captor's office gets an invite.
Okay.
The reason this happened is because of them, correct? We can invite whatever elected officials you want to invite, but they should. The reason we can do this is because of a grant by the federal government.
Sure, we can certainly contact their office to extend that invitation to them when we schedule it. We'll schedule it ahead enough so that we can try to.
Right, she might say no, thank you, but maybe somebody from her staff would come, and if we want to invite our state rep, that's great. This is happening not with our dollars.
Right.
Well, they are our dollars, or our tax dollars,
right.
But not Monclova Township designated tax
right.
dollars.
Right, their base salary.
Some of them are Harold and Dawn's.
Yeah.
Their base salary will be covered by the grant. Any overtime in that is not covered by the grant that would come from our budget, but their base regular salary for those 3 years is all covered by that.
So do you anticipate the part-time personnel, since we're bringing three more on? Plus, I know our guy, Michael Harris, it looks like he's in this thing, the rotation, and then I see you're also bringing in another full-time paramedic only. How do you see our working relationship going in the future now that we're hiring so many full-time personnel?
I think, you know, as we've talked in the previous working sessions and that, talking about what our minimum needs are, and what our ability is to provide the best care and the best response for the community. You know, going away from the cross staffing of the vehicles that we did previously, based on volume, based on the needs that we have, be able to staff the two ALS rigs and the fire truck for responses. We're getting to that point where, you know, adding those extra positions along with the current staffing is what we were looking at doing. So that when we talked about that, of adding back in October, of adding that paramedic only position, that was to help us get more experienced paramedics that we weren't finding on the paramedic firefighter position, to help us provide that ALS staffing for the units, and then to bring the FEMA grant helps us get closer to NFPA compliance, which says that for a fire response that we need to have a crew of four on the engine. So that extra person will then add to our staffing to help us have a four-person response for the truck on the structure.
What was the initials again, and what do they stand for?
NFPA is the National Fire Protection Association. It's the agency that issues the standards that fire departments are basically kind of held up against too. And the FEMA grant, the safe grant, is basically based on helping your department comply with those NFPA requirements.
Because obviously when you put those little, I always love it, the ABCs or whatever, you have no idea what actually they stand for. So what you're anticipating then is a lot of our fill-in time would be for Kelly days, holidays, vacation times, things like that?
Yeah, we will. Each of those classes, the paramedic only position has Kelly day. The paramedic only position also has some time off of their, so because they don't hold a fire card, they don't get the extended overtime opportunities that these the fighters have or the police officers have. So they're held to that 40-hour work week. So we have them set up where they're working on the 24-48 cycle or the rotation with the 3 days, the ABC rotation, but they're not working the full 24-hour shift on some days. They have a 16-hour day on some of the days to keep them closer to that 40 hours.
And then somebody else comes in for the eight to cover that.
So then we have a part-time gap. We have a part-time person to cover that. That's why we went up to five on our part-time paramedics. So that we'll have five part-time paramedics to fill in for the Kelly days as well as the open shifts. And then within the year, I mean, those full-time paramedics will start earning vacation time, sick time. So if they have time off, there'll be time to cover for that. That still holds true for our full-time positions as well. And then we have the two part-time positions in the schedule that we had from the 2022 levy with the five staffing. So.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about levies and what people vote on at some time, but for this conversation, are you fully, can you say to yourself, I'm fully staffed, this is as staffed as I'm going to be?
Not yet, but once we get through this, where we get to this 7-person staffing, then I think that puts us in a good position. Obviously, we don't know what the future is going to be with our run volume ever increasing.
Not talking about that. Right now, you're not at full time. You're not completely staffed in your mind. We've been at this. when did full time start? It's 24 months. I don't think it's 24 months. 4 months might be 18.
Well, it was basically December of 2022 that we started.
So January 1st is 1 year. 2023. So
we're going into our third year.
Okay.
So we're at
And you haven't been fully staffed that entire time.
So
are you fully staffed?
Are we at the point where we had agreed upon 2 years ago to have so many full-time? Because I know we lost two, and then we gained two, and we've been kind of shuffling around. Is this what you're presenting? Let's bring us to the point where we should have been with the safer grant. as far as all the positions filled that, that need to be filled when we have lost some and we now we've gained some. Is that what you're trying to say? Are we at this point?
From the 2022 hiring, yes. we are still just one person short.
And you're interviewing them this week.
That was the fourth person out of the three plus the safer. So that
by the end of March, early April, you will be fully onboarded. You will be up to speed, unless somebody leaves or yada yada yada.
We should be ready.
Seems to be the constant problem.
Right. We're at a 5-person shift, 4-person minimum currently. Right. That's what we went back to when we had all those openings.
I don't want an explanation of shift coverage, right? That's something you and I don't see eye to eye on. What I'm trying to get at is, are you comfortable with the staffing you're at?
Go ahead.
Is this what you want? At the end of March, early April, they will all be onboarded. They are where you want it to be. And you're meeting your goals. I want to see improvements in time. Are you going to show me those improvements in times? Are you running a report that shows me in April we ran 5 minutes to a fire? Wait, we only had one. And then in May, the other fire we had was 4 minutes. We got better. Like, how are you going to show me improvement from this fire department that is now fully staffed after 3 years?
Response times would be one report.
It'd be one measure. Even a novice like me can say response times would be one.
Response times is one, and then I'm trying to get all the overlapping details and information so that we can see how many runs that we're overlapping on. It shows where we have the need for those extra positions above what we have from the inquiry.
So are you trying to go to a 7-person, 24/7 on a 7-person?
We would, when all these people are onboarded, and I've been instructed that I have to go through the board to make the changes for their approval. That's why I keep going back to, we're at a 5-person shift with a 4-person minimum. That's the last that you have set us at.
Right.
So what I have explained in the last few meetings was, once we get through this onboarding where I have those three paramedics positions that we started hiring in October, with the part-time personnel, when we get that on there, we're able to go to 6-person shift, staff both ALS medic units 24/7. And then when we add the SAFER grant positions, then we'll be able to go to 7-position shift, and we can have still a 6-person minimum where we're still able to provide those two ALS staffed medic units 24/7. And have the fire crew to staff the fire apparatus. That's where the number seven gets us. It's two providers on the first EMS unit, two providers on the second unit, and then three remaining for the fire engine. But with the SAFER grant, when we have a structured fire, we'll end up staffing 4 people on the truck going to our fires so that we're better compliance with that NFPA standard.
Right, in the last 3 meetings you heard me say, I'm not comfortable with that based on our budget. You can't provide that coverage. So give us another model that does fit our budget, and I don't get anywhere with that. So
our budget was set with the sting of 5 from the 2022.
Didn't you just say 7? Yeah.
Correct. So the 6, the paramedic only position, that was funding was coming from the Lucas County grant,
ALS.
Lucas County EMS money that was coming. And then the 7th position is coming from the SAFER funding.
I forgot about the $400,000 for the ALS position that we're getting a year.
Yeah, the 402,000 that we get.
It sounds like you have it all figured out.
So we're getting the SAFER grant, and we're getting the $400,000 to cover the paramedics positions that we're getting, and the SAFER grant is putting on the other three.
Correct.
So we haven't
changed anything out of our fire budget other than adding those other sort of sources of funding for that. We continue to work on looking at alternative sources of funding, alternative things that we can do. You know, I'm not close-minded to that. I'm looking to save whatever funds we can, and then we have to look at being able to develop the funding mechanism to sustain the SAFER positions after the 3 years. So. And the timing of that with us coming to the end of our 5-year levy, is pretty close to each other for that. So as we go forward, as we forward with developing renewal replacement, however to approach that levy, I would be asking to include the funding to sustain those safer positions.
So when I say you're fully staffed April 1st, that's not an accurate statement.
By April 1st, we should have the seven. I mean, we should have the seven in place on shift, as long as I'm giving the approval to go above the five, because that's where I'm at right now from how you've directed us.
So five was in the budget, and then the other positions are going to be covered by SAFER grant and by ALS funding.
Correct. We looked at that. Talked up with Gavin on several things about changing how we were doing and moving some of the costs that we used to have from the fire levy into our EMS fund that's supported by the money from the county plus our transport billing that comes from. So we've always paid several of our bills from that for like the maintenance and repairs on the EMS equipment. The funding for the purchase of the equipment came from that EMS fund. So now adding the dollars in from the county commissioners, we're looking to translate that over to encompass the personnel costs. And then looking at how, when we buy PPE for those EMS providers, that comes out of the EMS fund. When we buy radios or computers for the EMS units, then that comes
from the EMS fund. So the EMS fund has grown. We're taking from here, making the EMS funds a bigger lot to cover the paramedics and everything else that's involved within EMS
to try to break some of the associated costs more so over, because we've never done that 100% of that, and look at how we can sustain a little better balance between our EMS operations funded by the EMS fund,
mm-hmm.
and not relying 100% on the fire levy. We always had one 12-hour part-time position taken out of the EMS fund prior to us hiring full-time.
Mm-hmm.
But by adding the money in from the county, the commissioners, that basically covers the position for the three people for the full year, similar to what the SAFER grant funds supply for those three positions. It covers the costs of those EMS providers.
And like I said, then you did put there that this is continued upon if the SAFER grant funding or something is pending and the township is successful and is secure. So they kind of know this is a three-year ride right at this moment.
Correct. All the applicants were made aware when they applied, when we talked in the interview, that this was a grant-funded position. The funding's in place for the 3 years. It's our job as the township to continue that, because the SAFER grant program is a stepping stone program, so it's given to entities to start the process, and a job as the entity to work on sustaining those positions by the end of the 3 years. So they were all made aware of that. We'll have that. We'll draft an agreement similar to what like the maintenance employees get for the CDL class and training and payment back and understanding of that. So we will have that in place, and that will also include that contingency of within the 3 year period them completing
so,
their paramedics.
Yeah, now that you said that.
IAFF was on board with that as well.
Okay. And that stands for our
union.
That's the union.
I know. I would just want to hear him say that because all this. So now that you said that, it does bring up an interesting question. And I don't know this at all. Who provides the funding for the paramedic continuing education for their paramedic schooling? Is that something that is on the individual? Is that something they can apply for somewhere for state money or grant money? Because you've got two here that want to pursue that. One is in. I have no idea how they achieve
that. We would have one that would need funding for it. The one that's currently in place, the only thing that we could potentially offer be like their test fees or something. I mean, after they're already in the class. I mean, that's.
I think she's talking big picture, not just these three.
No, what we currently have is a paramedic. Currently, the department's program is paramedic reimbursement, and that program is done for an applicant from the department who wishes to go to paramedic school can go, they pay for it, and then they're reimbursed over 2 years. And that was kind of the plan that the department had of trying to promote people to go to the paramedic and keeping them the fact. We require that we have to look at changing that probably from the reimbursement to us providing the payment for that. So in looking forward, that's one thing that we would look at. There are grants that we can apply through the state for training as well as other things, but that would be something that we would have to look for. Instead of doing the 2-year reimbursement, it would be us paying like a quarterly program for them. So we would come up with a new policy, we would come up with a new procedure of having only a certain number of people that we could do that for, because obviously our budget is unlimited. So
yeah, because I think some places isn't like you could go to one place $12,000, but you could go to UT for like $4,500. I know with the CDL everybody goes to the same spot. But I didn't know in a paramedic if, you know, there could be a school that's better training or better whatever. So I just brought that up because you said kind of like what the only reason I said this because you said similar to what the maintenance department does. So, but I see if somebody's
sure. I just meant as far
school.
As having that agreement with similar wording, how it's drafted, that says that they have to attain that CDL position after their probation. So we would have contingent wording in an agreement for them to sign that says they understand that the grant-funded position, and they understand that within 3 years they have to obtain their paramedic certification.
I just wasn't sure how they handle paramedic school, if it's something that...
No, if it would be something that we could look on. Typically, the paramedic class is a one-day-a-week class. It's usually an 8-hour day of class, and then they have to schedule clinical times and lab times with it, so it can be something where they can be detailed to it for the day. We can shift their cycle around if we so choose, if it's a different class. There are accelerated classes which do like typically 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week for that, but that takes a special type of person to do it, and that's a lot of information to go through. So what most of the programs have now is they offer like a Tuesday and a Wednesday class or a Wednesday and a Thursday class. So it's this week it's on A shift and B shift. So if you happen to work on A shift, you don't go, you go to the B shift day. If you happen to work on B shift, you go on the A shift day. So it's 1 day a week that they would have to go to the class. So we would work their schedule around that or schedule their classes around that to do.
While you were gone, Chief talked about staffing and models and what his plan for the future is, and discussed the trustees need to make some decisions. Does Chief have a monthly, a quarterly, rolling, this is how much you've spent of your levy for the year in salaries and overtime? Does he know if he's... Has he used all $2 million already?
I can send that to him every month we close the books.
Simple enough?
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is that the paramedics is mostly coming through the county ALS payment, and the SAFER grant is pretty well covering the other three additional hires. So what we're discussing is that it's still the original model was still falling within the fire levy amounts, and the extra positions were being covered by outside sources at this time.
All the, just the straight paramedics that we've hired, they're all going through the EMF. They're not going through the fire levy.
Yeah, so he was saying that you guys are...
That's not what you said.
Oh.
That's not how I heard what you said, but...
Well, the paramedics is coming
so
to
just,
the ALS
it would just be good
county
to know.
Payment. The additional three... crossovers or whatever you want to call it is coming through the SAFER grant.
Right. So a rolling tally of where we stand. He can have a better grasp of how his model is working. I would think that would be one of the factors that would be a win, right? I can meet the requirements of the township at this budget level. Well, that's a huge success. Besides improved times and what I heard clearly from the residents was EMS is what's critically important. The they don't want to be sick in their bed without somebody coming. I know Chuck always brings up the commercial entities and being checked on, and I know that position also did safety, township, and community outreach kindings, and you think
the fire prevention.
Lock boxes, right? That might be somewhere we can explore some shared services as well. Like, let's do something unique.
It says here, though, that we're actually going to put an ad out for fire prevention.
We're working on changing the current one that we had of where it was a fire captain's position and making it just the fire prevention officer, fire marshal position.
Okay.
So that it has the... Mm-hmm. That has the fire prevention aspect of duties, which is what it needs to focus on, the community risk reduction and the fire prevention activities. And they will, we're going to start with at least having that being a cross-trained position as well, but their main function is the fire prevention aspect of what they're doing here. So they're not, and then with us having those increased staffing levels, we're able to staff the trucks without having the cross-staffing or the jumping of people from the fire engine have to jump over to the EMS unit when that EMS call comes in. They'll maintain their positions on those apparatus, and we've, you know, less of a need for pulling the fire prevention person to some of those runs.
Is Monclova, I'm just saying because I know they do a lot of inspections, is it Monclova big enough to have a 40-hour-a-week prevention officer without being cross-trained and maybe having to go on to a run?
We've had the fire prevention full-time of some position. It was initially with the deputy chief position, and that had a lot of administrative things that he was doing, and it did... You know, at times there were some...
Right, it's about reading science. It's about the zoning office being busy.
There's plan reviews and permit approvals that they do on top of the business inspections, the community outreach and community risk reduction that, you know, Scott started with the last one, where we got into a lot more of the Knox boxes, the fire, the smoke detector replacement programs and that helps us all lower our fire damage, fire deaths, everything that helps us in that community risk reduction aspect of it. So it's a full job as far as that goes.
So what you're saying is just through all the commercial buildings, but everything over here in this basket that needs to be addressed also.
Yeah, other than the commercial buildings, I mean, there's inspections that happen for foster care. There's inspections for licensing on daycares. There's inspections in conjunction with the state for the healthcare facilities. And the hotels, which are licensed through the state of Ohio, but our inspectors do a lot of the day-to-day stuff that's needed for them, and then the annual inspections and that are done in conjunction with the marshal's office and their inspectors.
The status quo changed, Trudy. So what they did here, staff of no full-timers, not significantly changed with commercial additions or daycare additions or hotel additions. There aren't any new hotels in Monclova in the last 20 years. So though that's part of the duty, they were doing it prior to a full-time position.
Right. I mean, the fire prevention was kind of a shared duty in the past, where the inspectors would do some of the inspections, and then the fire chief was primarily doing all the site plan reviews. That.
So this was before my time.
Correct. This was before my time. There hasn't been a new hotel built. So though that's a requirement of the job, it's been met without having a full-time person doing it.
But it has to be done annually.
I don't know how often it has to be done.
Do inspections have to be done annually?
Inspections are done at a minimum annually. The higher risk occupancies in that we can increase the frequency that we do those. Certainly if we had, to need a change in different things like some of the assembly places to keep up on that. The seasonal type thing happen with, you know, we don't have a whole lot of retail stores, but we, you know, over the seasons of shopping times, they all stock up on inventory. So then we pay a visit to them just to check on their compliance with their ability to store things, make sure they don't have blocked exits. So,
but you know how many new commercial sites have arisen since you've been here?
Yeah.
Not that many, a handful.
So yeah, just the overall total of businesses plus we have the annual food trucks that have to be done. Everything pretty much has an annual review. Schools have to get an inspection before the school year. So that's an annual thing. They get their annual fire safety inspections. Just have to have.
Why does food truck have to get licensed in every little jurisdiction? Like, it seems like it would be pretty standard, and if the county did it, it would make more sense than making that food truck go to Waterville,
go
White
to the
House.
State, get it
well,
changed.
Right now, though, they have it, like, don't you have the rec center, and everybody can come, and it's done. Anybody can, any and everybody can
so
come.
So they try to make it easy?
To make it
easy. So we tried it, yeah, we've tried over the years, because that is a state requirement, that each local jurisdiction has to issue a certificate for them,
a
permit for them. Yes, we started doing last year's. We participated in that county food roundup,
right.
And that would be the goal again. That gets all of the food vendors together in one spot. All the different agencies bring an inspector out there.
Right.
They fill out the things.
Serve some beer.
And then there's still some minor work that has to be done. So say we inspect truck number 7
mm-hmm.
when we do that food roundup, and then they do an event here, but they have truck number 5, which wasn't licensed. So that has to go through the process of getting the license. So when they have their event, there's a fire prevention aspect of going there to make sure that they're complying with the codes.
Yeah, I was just wondering as far as because we were advertising for a fire prevention personnel. So I was wondering where that all stood or, you know, how it was. If it came before the trustees that we wanted to advertise for that position.
I can certainly put everything together and send that your way to look at it. I mean, it was a position that we had. Unless I'm directed not to advertise for it, then we were advertising. We would. Our plan was to advertise to fill that open.
If
position.
You think you are doing something outside of what we wanted you to do, you need to wait.
I don't think I'm doing. I'm just asking if that's the direction that you're leaning towards or you're changing. I mean, we had a fire prevention officer.
Oh.
I'm looking at advertising for the fire prevention officer just in making the change of not making it a captain position. We're just making it a fire marshal, fire prevention officer. But that's the only change.
I think that's a budget issue. I would love to sit down and talk about the fire department somehow in a, like an open setting so we could all hear where we think we stand. But this right now has to end because I only have 5 minutes before the meeting. And we have for the agenda, and Gavin is leaving as soon as he presents his appropriations. So I just wanted to make sure you have everything.
So if I have any questions concerning the appropriations.
And is there anything else on the agenda we need to cover?
I still would like to discuss something about the annex building. I know we're kind of at a stalemate right there.
We are.
And then pushing it.
I'd like to add
something under annex building.
You want to put something new under old business?
Old business. The annex building.
Okay. I can add the agenda when we go out there.
And I just had a couple questions for Gavin concerning appropriations. Do we still have that $500,000 designated for fire upgrades? Because I know last time you didn't have it on your sheet, but we had it on the appropriations. I think I still see the $500,000 that we've been talking about fire renovations, and I'm bringing that up because you said you're meeting with Midwest Contracting. So I'm just bringing that up to make sure that $500,000 was still in the budget line item. I think it is.
It is. It's just a number.
Right.
Is all it is.
Right.
You know.
Well, last time we had the sheet up and the screen is blank, and then we found the appropriations.
I threw it in there.
So it's still there.
Just as a number. Doesn't mean
it doesn't mean it could be 200. It doesn't mean it could
be
800.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make, because we've been asking for a year and a half or 2 years to come up with something, and it might even include the building out back. So this money's been sitting here. You need to bring something to us.
We've restarted all of that. The administrator and I went through last year of trying to get the building information done. And we submitted to 3 or 4 different vendors, had occasions with some of them.
They don't care.
And they don't.
They don't care.
They didn't respond back. So we have restarted all of that with this year.
Because here, even could the garage be part of that bucket right
be.
There for the 500? Renovations
for the
firehouse could be part of the garage.
We have economic development afterwards, but Chuck isn't even here.
I don't think...
We're not entering into executive session because there's no one to talk about it. Do you have any idea what's going on?
No, I know. You know, we have some stuff in the future, but I don't think there's any update or that we need to.
Okay. I like to get out there, guys. Sorry.
You can ask me a question. I'm not like, I have time. I just have to.
So Dawn, I'm saying you don't have to stay. There's nothing, right?
That's fine.
You don't want to talk about economic. I'm taking that off the agenda.
Yeah. No, I expect some questions.
But you need us for...
There will be more to talk about at the next meeting, I can assure you.
Okay. I think fire prevention is a super easy joint